Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to you.
Hallelujah. I'll put your hands together for Jesus. Are you happy to be in church on Swollen Sunday? Then give the Lord a shout of praise. Oh, you can do it better. You can do it better. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, whoever be in Christ is a new creature, and the old things have passed away. All things have become new. I see your life changing greatly in Jesus' mighty name. Whoever is in Christ will experience a great change. As you've come to the First Love Church, expect your life to change for the better. If you believe it, shout, "Yeah!" Our first testimony is coming from Tenny. He's from First Love, Aston. Put your hands together for him. Oh, do it better. As you clap for him, you're also going to Aston in Jesus' name. Tenny, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for the great change that has happened to me as I joined the ministry of the prophet Bishop Dykewood Mills.
Wow.
Yeah, so now when I was 16, I went to Nigeria for a holiday and I was with my friends and we went out. Long story short, I lost my virginity to a prostitute that night.
Mercy.
And that opened the door to a continuous battle of fornication. Now, when I went back to London to continue with my studies, just before I came to university, I went to a church. And as the pastor was preaching, he finished his preaching, but he didn't do an altar call at the end. But I was so convicted by the preaching. Afterwards, I went to the pastor and I said, "I want to give my life to Christ. Can you lead me?"
You went to the pastor.
I went to the pastor.
Pastor didn't do an altar call.
He didn't do an altar call. No.
This wasn't a Lighthouse Church.
It wasn't a Lighthouse Church. No.
You told the pastor to lead you to Christ.
Yes, please.
And he led you to Christ.
He led me to Christ. And then immediately after, maybe a week after, I don't know how, but I had a book, How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell. But at that time, I didn't know who the prophet was. I didn't know where Lighthouse Church was or First Love. And then right after I gave my life to Christ, I went to university, still not knowing who the prophet was. And I got invited to First Love Aston. And as I got invited, well, actually, even before that, I read the book, How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell. I'll never forget that moment in my life. I was sitting down on my toilet reading the book. And as I read the point, it resonated within me. And I said to myself, I'm going to carry on with this decision.
Wow.
Yes. So when I went to university, I didn't know who the prophet was. I got invited to First Love Aston and I kept going. I kept going. I kept hearing the preaching of Daddy. I kept hearing the preaching of the pastor. I was there, Pastor Daniel. And over time, my life has changed completely.
Your life has changed.
Completely.
You no longer fornicate.
I no longer fornicate anymore.
You stopped fornicating.
I haven't fornicated.
Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. You are experiencing a great change too in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today, by the grace of God, I'm now a Bacenta leader in
my
church.
Bacenta leader.
Yes, I have sheep that I lead, I guide, and I give. And I have people who have given their life to Christ because of me.
Wow, and you are in Ghana for the First Love
Camp. For the First Love Camp, Martin of the Lord's Camp.
Wow, give the Lord a shout of praise. I hope you'll be there. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Hallelujah. And our second testimony is coming from Amos Akwogo. He's from First Love Town Church. I'll do it better for Amos. Wow. Amos, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to just thank God for what he has done in my life. I just want to say thank you, God, for saving me, because Amos in church on a Sunday morning is not normal.
Amos in
it's
church on a Sunday morning
is not normal.
It's not normal. Everybody say, Amos in church on a Sunday morning is not normal. Wow, tell us.
Okay, so before I gave my life to Christ, I was into fornicating. And it's not late fornicating, it's full-time fornicating. I mean, from Monday.
Why do we have late fornicating?
Yes.
Wow.
I was into full-time fornicating, yes. Monday to Saturday. And there was a time I used to work in a nightclub in Osu, and I was the manager of the club, and it was a strip club as well. And then fast forward, I went to school in England, and then during the first week, it was the orientation week, and then I met a brother called Pastor Kent.
Pastor Kent?
Yes.
Wow.
And then he invited me to a church, and he said
he was in... This is like an older person.
No, he's not an older person. I'm older than him.
You are older than him.
Yes, I'm older than him.
About your age.
Yes.
Wow.
So he invited
me. He was a pastor.
He wasn't a pastor by then.
He wasn't a pastor by then.
So he invited me to a church called First Love Church. And then he mentioned Lighthouse. And I was like, this Lighthouse people, I saw them in Ghana and they used to come and knock on my doors and I didn't mind them. And now that I've come to England to Lighthouse.
Oh, somebody shout, we are everywhere. Shout, we are everywhere. And we are coming for you. Shout, yeah. So they were in London too?
Yes, he was in London too. And I ignored him. I said, I won't go. This church, I won't go. And then 2 days after, I met a young girl called Jennifer.
You met a young girl?
Called Jennifer. Yes. And then she invited me to a church, but she didn't tell me the name of the church. I said, okay, since she's a girl, let me go.
Hey, so, I hope you invited people to church. Very Pastor Priscilla, it looks like the girls are able to get people to follow them.
Wow. So I went to the church and
followed Jennifer
to the church. I had my own ideas. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I went because she's a girl. And then I went to church and then I saw that brother that met me 2 days ago, Pastor Kent. I saw him again and I was like, but then it was too late for me to leave. So I just stayed.
Wow.
And then he preached powerfully and I got convicted, but I didn't give my life to Christ because I was too stubborn. I couldn't imagine myself leaving what was in the world because it was too nice and too beautiful and too fun for me to leave and change. So I said no, I didn't give my life to Christ. So I left it. The following week I followed her to church again. He preached and I was so convicted again, but I couldn't just let go of the world.
Mercy.
It was too nice for me. And then I didn't give my life. And then the third week I just couldn't stop myself from walking to the altar and giving my life to Christ.
Wow.
So I gave my life to Christ and then he spoke to me and then gradually I was changing and I had to move back to Ghana because I was done with school and then he introduced me to Pastor Joshua.
Wow.
And from there, my life has never been the same again.
Wow. So your life has changed.
My life
Can we
changed.
See the picture? Wow. Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Is that you?
That's me.
What's that in your mouth?
Paper.
Eesh. Somebody shout, Ian. So would you say you've experienced a great change?
I've experienced a great change.
Is it possible to change from this state to this state?
It's possible.
Is it possible?
It's possible. And it's only by God's intervention. If God didn't intervene in my life, I wouldn't be here at all.
Wow.
Maybe I would be dead.
Wow. God is intervening in your life today. Shout, yeah. And put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Hallelujah. Let's welcome Solomon from Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Center as he shares his great chain testimony. Do it better for him. Solomon, tell us, what has God done for you?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to thank God for how he saved me from a lifestyle of idol worshiping, gugu powers, and all sort of things.
Wow, tell us about it.
Growing up in the Upper East region, Bolgatanga in particular, I was initiated into idols from birth. When I was 5 years old, I was introduced to alcohol. And at 7 years old, I had my own idols. As Python was my best pet.
What was
Python
it?
Was my pet.
Like what?
Python, a snake.
The python was your best friend.
Like when I'm sad, I always need to call for a snake to play with. Human beings wasn't my friend. I didn't like to be with human beings.
Forgive.
When I'm sad, it's a snake that I call for.
Mercy. Shout, here. This is quite serious. The python was your friend.
Yes.
And what happened? What happened after that?
So that's how it was till I went to Tamale. So when I went to Tamale, one man invited me to come to a church. The church was a Baptist church. Yes, 10 minutes away from my house, one of the tallest buildings. But as I was going, I don't know what happened. I didn't go to that church. Then amazingly, I went to a school where there were about 10 different churches. But I don't know what happened. Then I entered into a Lighthouse church. So I believe it was God who directed me there because no one invited me. There were a lot of churches there. I could have entered a different church. So when I went, I gave my life to Christ. But that wasn't the end of the story. I was working with the Muslims who introduced me to an Islam. So I became a Muslim.
You converted from being a traditionalist to a Muslim.
Muslim. So I will go to church small, go to the mosque, then I'll do my tradition as well.
Shout, yeah!
Yeah.
And what happened?
So that's how it continued till I went to senior high school. But when I went to senior high school, my shepherds, they still follow me. They never gave up on me, even though I was a Muslim. So they went there and they introduced me to the SU president. And the SU president said, he can't follow, but there's a Lighthouse member in the school who is a serious Christian. So he introduced me to that shepherd. And he also took me to another church that was just closer to the campus. So when I went, I was not serious till 2014 that My pastor said, we are going to Accra for a homecoming. I said, oh, I've never been to Accra. It's a great blessing. Let me go and see what is in Accra. So when I came for the homecoming convention, after everything, Daddy made an altar call. He prays for me, and he lays hands on me. After he laid the hands on me, when I got back home, I don't know what happened. Suddenly, I just changed. I became serious with God, winning souls, doing all that I can. And by the grace of God, today, I'm also standing here. And the other thing is that after I became born again, my father became born again. All my siblings, they came to know Christ.
Your father is also born again now.
He left the tradition. He left the God.
Oh, somebody give the... Oh, why are you still sitting down like that? Put your hands together for Jesus. And let's celebrate the power of the cross. You notice that all these people had common things in their story. A brother met me and invited me to church. Somebody invited me to come to church. Somebody told me, let's go to church. I hope you are inviting someone to church too. You will be the instrument for somebody's great change. Put your hands together for Jesus for that powerful testimony. And finally, I want us to welcome Daniel. Daniel is from First Love Town Church. I'll do it better for him. Daniel, tell us. How has God changed you?
I want to thank God so much for the great change in my life. Before I joined the church, I was doing everything bad boys were doing.
You were doing everything bad boys.
Everything bad boys were doing. And my looks were quite deceptive, so you can't really tell the things I was doing. I was smoking.
Check.
I was doing the edibles.
The what?
Edibles. That's
I don't know what edibles are about. Should we go and see it or should we go? I know it did not be nice. You were doing the edibles.
I was doing the edibles.
And what?
And I was drinking heavily.
Let's
see. Yes. Every weekend I am on it. And I was fornicating too. I was fornicating so much that I remember one time I got into a fight with a friend of mine. And I told him that, I even have sex more than your father does. Yes. And by the grace of God, a friend invited me to church. My friend Dedo invited me to church.
Wow, put your hands together for Jesus.
And I came to church and I remember I was in a blue suit, two-piece suit, and I came. And that day, I gave my life to Christ that day. And after I gave my life to Christ, I told myself I would never miss church again that day. And by the grace of God, right now I'm a Basenta overseer.
Wow.
As I drink, and I assess Pastor Ziggy. And today on this Holy Sunday, we even brought six buses to church.
Yes. Give the Lord a shout of praise. So would you say your life has changed?
My life has changed so much. I no longer hang out with the friends I used to. I no longer listen to the music I used to. The place I used to go there, I no longer do that.
And you have a beloved?
Yes, I do have a beloved.
Single beloved?
Yes, I do have.
How many beloveds do you have?
I have one single
beloved. Give the Lord a shout of praise. How many of you will agree with me? That's a miracle. I see your life changing for better in Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Lord, I need to talk to you today from the depths of my heart. About the way I feel. Sometimes I feel like writing you a letter or sending you a card to tell you how I love you. I really do, Jesus. Sometimes I'm beside myself 'cause I really don't know how to love you back. You've been good to me. You are my God. Oh, I call you my Savior. Jesus, Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood, oh, for me. Terrible sinner, oh, you saved me from hell. Oh, oh, yeah, I love you, Jesus. Oh, you're so dear to me. Mm. so dear to me. Jesus, the woman with the alabaster box, I see myself in her. A disgraceful woman moving from house to house and from sin to sin. You know what I mean? Many things I cannot say, but I know that you know all about me. Jesus, you know it all. You are my God. Oh, I call you my Savior. Jesus, Jesus, you died for me. Oh, shed your blood, oh, for me, a terrible sinner. Oh, 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 you saved me from hell. Oh, yes, you did. I love you, Jesus. Oh, oh, you're so dear to me. Imagine how my life would be if I didn't know you. Ooh, 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 ooh. I know so many people who don't know you the way I do. I wonder how they make it living without you, Jesus. So you've helped my life so much. If I had to live again, I would choose you all over, 'cause you are my God. I call you my Savior. Jesus, Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood, oh, for me, a terrible sinner. Oh, 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 you saved me from hell. I love you, Jesus. You're so dear to me.
Those diseases, no, no, not one.
can heal all our souls, all our souls' diseases. No, 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 not one. No, not one. Nobody can heal all our souls' diseases. Nobody can heal our soul's diseases. Nobody, nobody. See, I've been around the world and I can't find nobody. Nobody like him. If you just try him and see, you will find that is all that you need. Oh, not one. No, not one. Now there's nobody, nobody like Jesus. No, not one. No.
Hallelujah. Is there anyone who's excited to be in the house of God? Well, 2 weeks ago was the last time we saw our father. And he was in Canada, he was in Jamaica, and he was in Barbados. And he has already told us that we'll be there. But I thank God that we don't have to go another Sunday without hearing from the servant that God has given us. And last week, it was a bit odd not hearing him. And I spent the week listening to some of the podcasts And I believe we are hearing some of the greatest messages that people our age could hear. And I believe that our lives are genuinely being changed and transformed. If today is your first time, I guarantee you, you are here and you are in for a good time. You are in for a blessed time and your life will be transformed. If there are some excited first lovers, excited to have your father, the prophet, back in the house, lift your voice and expect a miracle. First love, I can't hear you.
Your hands. Father, thank you for today and for a great blessing that we have to be in your presence this morning. What a blessing. Guide us by your mighty, mighty Holy Spirit. Lead us, Lord, into your perfect and beautiful plan. Thank you for the great mission of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lift your hands and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Andala mashatola marandala. Kalora baba shedele me mandalia. Haloro monandelele beke manda. Pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your life is in His hands. Your life is in His hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kala mashando la baka barana la manane. Hayama dora mama parana baba. Hale ramanda li baba. Talama kabaroda la baba. Harionda la mama shando kabayamana. Ask God for the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Morama masato makabalandene. Haya hamandolo mokabarala. Ho boromonandene bekemanala baba. Haya baba 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 baba. Haya mandali bokabaradari menere. Oh ya mama mama dala mashandele bekemama. Hayambando la kabaranda limomondele bekemarama. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Parama kadali mandele bekemam. Oh yes, 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 yes. Kamo shando la makabaranda lima. Father, we are grateful. We thank you for your blessing today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Touch every life here by your mighty power in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Amen. I'm glad you are in church. And I know that God is changing every life here. And He's bringing you to what He has planned for your life. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Amen. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. Now, today I am preaching to you about salvation, your salvation. And I want you to listen very carefully, because salvation is one of the most important things for you to understand. Now, God, the mission of the Holy Spirit, which we've been preaching about, the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit is to save you and me. And that is why God gives the Holy Spirit, is to save you. Save you from what? Save you from darkness. Save you from hell. Save you from Satan. Philippians 1 verse 19. Look at Philippians 1 verse 19. Now, you all know Philippians 4:19, isn't it?
Yes.
But Philippians 1:19 is also very important. It says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation, through your prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So, salvations take place through prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So people are not just saved by you talking to them. That's why when you don't pray, people don't get saved. And when the Holy Spirit, the supply of the Spirit is not there, people don't change. You may do things, but there will be no change. So salvation is through your prayer. Philippians 1:19 is showing us master keys to salvation. It's through prayer and through the supply of the Holy Spirit. So one of the main things that the Holy Spirit is here to do, if not the main thing he's here to do, is to save people. Now sometimes we don't realize what we've been saved from. You get it? And often it's because you don't know what is happening. You know? Recently I saw, you know, in a film, it was just a film, but it was a good depiction. Some people were going to be executed publicly. And as they were going to execute them, all the people in the town were coming to watch the execution. But there were children also just nearby, and they were all playing on the swing, and they were just having fun. And I realized how real it is. The children don't know what is happening, but the grown-ups know somebody is about to die, and how serious a thing it is for these people to be executed. There were four of them. They were all being executed publicly. But all the children were happy, because they had no idea. They had no knowledge of the dangers and the risks and the reality of the situation and what was happening. So sometimes you don't even know what is happening and how much danger a person is when God is trying to save the person. So you see some of the testimonies we had, the great change testimonies. You see the people, somebody saying he has his own idol by the age of 7. Somebody said he's a full-time fornicator and a manager of a nightclub. Huh? And a Rasta man. It's amazing. Yes. So you see that Jesus Christ is really trying to do something wonderful for us. Amen. Now, Exodus chapter 14, he says in verse 1, he said, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children that they should encamp here. All right? And stay at this place. There's three. Why? For Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan, Moses is a type of Jesus Christ, born into this world to save the people of God. When he came to save the people of God, initially they rejected him. Then he comes back with great signs and wonders. That is Moses. Moses came to save the people. They rejected him. They said, "Who made you a Lord over us?" And they rejected Moses. So that's what has happened to Jesus. He came to save his people. He was rejected. But he will come back with, not in the same way. Moses, when Moses came back the second time, he came with signs and wonders. I mean, it was like magic when Moses came the second time. And the first time they said, "Who are you?" So when Jesus came the first time, they said, "Who are you? Who made you anything?" And he was murdered by his own people. He was put to death. A crime which is described as deicide, the killing of God. Deicide. Suicide is when you kill yourself. Homicide is when you kill somebody. Insecticide is when you kill insects. And deicide is like a deity. You killed a deity. So deicide. Mercy. Now, so Satan is an example. You see, what happened to the children of Israel is a picture for us to see what it's like. You get it? How we were rescued from the grips of Satan, who has kept us in hard bondage. Now, when you are trying to escape for your salvation, look at what Pharaoh is saying. He says, "They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in." So Satan is looking at you and saying, he is entangled in the land. He cannot come out. He's in the wilderness. Now this is one of Satan's plan, to entangle you so much in the world that to come out, it looks so fantastic. Like when you see a young man like this, who is being saved with his rasta hair and all the things he is into. You see, Pharaoh is Pharaoh's plan to entangle you in the land and make sure that the wilderness will enclose you so that you will never be able to escape. Yes. Whether you are a girl or whether you are a boy, that is what the devil is planning and is trying hard to do. He will say that they are entangled. But today marks your disentanglement from every curse and chain that Satan is attempting to tie you with and keep you shut up in the world in a way that you cannot come out. You are declared free from all entanglements which have chained you in the name of Jesus. Yes. And sometimes when you come out of the entanglement, you look back and you ask yourself, how did I come to this place? Yeah. One day I spoke to, you know, I find salvation to be the greatest miracle when somebody is saved. Whether you have a great change or a small change, to be saved is a very great miracle. And one day I was talking to Dr. Go because we were at a nightclub, outside a nightclub. And yeah, because we happened to be there because we were from a crusade. And after the crusade, we went to sit there, all the whole team. And we had some drinks outside the disc. There was a garden overlooking the sea. So anyway, when we were coming out, a man came out looking like one of these guys we saw on the picture, with chains and some You could see the guy was high. It was about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And Dr. Go pointed and said that this door, I used to come out of this door at 5 a.m. So after that, I told him, I was quiet. I said, you came out of this door. I said, yeah, this is my door. This disco, I used to go from nightclub to nightclub and I come out of this door. And I told him, I said, not then, I just listened, but later I told him, I said, I feel you are ungrateful for your salvation. Because when I look at this door that you came out of, it's a very difficult place to be saved from. Because as we look at the guy, I wonder what can save this man. He's completely surrounded and entangled. You know? So I'm grateful for salvation. Now, many Christians don't realize how important salvation is. Rick Joyner wrote a book called The Final Quest. And in that book, Christians were climbing the mountain. But they came to a level called salvation. And then when he got to that level of salvation, he passed on and went high up to the mountain. When he got to the top, he met somebody there at the top. And he asked the guy, how did you get here? It seems I've seen you before. How did you get here before me? And the man smiled and said, you left me on the level of salvation. But the Lord told me to stay at this level of salvation. And he said, as I stayed at this level of salvation, which means to emphasize salvation, to teach salvation, to preach salvation. He said, as I was on that level, I saw a door on the mountain. And the door, when I opened it, was a shortcut to the top of the mountain. That's how I came here before you. So many Christians feel that salvation is basic, but not knowing that salvation is the main thing. It's the main thing that God is the mission of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1 verse 19. That this will turn to my salvation through your prayers and through the supply of the Holy Spirit. So salvation comes through Christians praying and the Holy Spirit starting to move on people to change people's life and to save people. And Christians need to emphasize what salvation is. It's exactly what happened in Exodus 14 verse 3. He says, I know that they are entangled. And who brought the entanglement? Satan is the one who brought the entanglement. And he says, I know they are entangled. They can never come out. They are locked in. They can't come out. And the longer they stay in the wilderness, and the longer they stay there, the more the entanglements are. So thank God if you are a young president, Jesus has been able to save you by now. You should thank God because the kind of entanglements that are waiting for people, you have no idea. So thank God for his wonderful salvation. And as you go on, in verse 4, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. You see, Satan is following you that you should not be saved. But today we block his activities in the name of Jesus. He says he shall follow after them and I will be honored. I will be honored upon all the host. And that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. And see the salvation. So we need to stand still and see salvations taking place in people's lives. Real change. Real change. If you are a manager of a nightclub, you cannot continue to be a manager of that nightclub if Jesus has saved you. You cannot continue to practice all the things you used to do because salvation means to turn around and to turn away from your sin. And to turn away to Jesus Christ. And that's a great change. And that great change is coming on many lives. Hallelujah. So today, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 19. Where I'm going to be preaching to you about the salvation of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19. 19. And definitely, when Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, we'll be there. There is Jericho is there. When you go to Israel, to Tel Aviv, you go to Jerusalem, one of the places we have to pass through is Jericho. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans. Wow. And he was rich. A publican was somebody who worked for IRS, a tax collector. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, when we go to Jericho, you see sycamore trees. And it's quite an unusual tree. Eh? You can really understand why Zacchaeus will be able to climb this tree. How many are going to be on the first love trip to Israel? It's going to be fantastic. Beautiful. Lift your hand and pray about it. Father, thank you for your, thank God for your presence and your participation in that wonderful trip to Israel. Amen. Now, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hey, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he had gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Now, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, point number one, Zacchaeus encountered Jesus when Jesus was passing through the city. Amen. So Jesus passed through Jericho. And when Jesus passed through Jericho, Zacchaeus got saved. All right? So whenever Jesus is giving you the opportunity, you must take the chance, because that's the moment. If you don't take it then, you may not get another opportunity to take it. Is that not so? Now, I'm sure you've heard of the boys in Thailand who are under the water, under the cave, somewhere there. And I just heard that they are trying to save them now. Because this is the... Three are out. Yeah. But they said, if we don't do it now, we don't know if we can. So, they are trying to do it now. This is the moment. So, Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho. This is the moment of salvation. Now, so whenever Jesus is passing your way, don't say later. Because he may not. Actually, he was on the way. This is Luke chapter 19. It's going towards 20 and then that's the end. He's about to. This was his last chance. So on the day that Jesus passed through Jericho, Zacchaeus so happened to be at the right place. And it was his moment of salvation. Now let me tell you, you may say, oh, later. I've got a good boyfriend now. And let me finish with him. I'm sure he'll fall out of love with me by next year. Me now, I can see, because he's not the first and he will not be the last. But let me finish having a good time and then I'm going to turn. No, you may never have another chance. Jesus never came through Jericho again. Never. You know, I thank God that I was saved when I was in school. I got saved in secondary school, not even university. I don't want to imagine what I would have been like in a university or beyond. So I thank God. If I live my life again, I'll choose him even earlier, if it's possible. So if Jesus is offering you the opportunity, take it and walk with him. Now, as you find yourself in church today, it means God has shined his light upon you and given you a great chance to serve him. Don't say, oh, another one will come. Many good things come once, and then after that, sorry, forever, no more. So if you go to hell, you have to blame yourself, because you did have a chance. You did have one good chance. And that one good chance is the one good chance that you need to take. Hallelujah. So that God can save you. So Jesus was passing through. Now, many things look accidental and coincidental. No, they are not. It's God's provision. This is the moment. This is the moment. You know, and it's sometimes I go to a country and then I feel in my heart a burden for the place. Like we are coming just now from Jamaica and the Caribbean. I saw the islands. Then I think about the islands. You see, when you say Caribbean, you think it's a lot of, you can just take a boat from here to here. It's the sea, deep blue sea. Huge. So it's like somebody say, you know, I have a friend in Uganda. Do you know him? And it's like, you know, Uganda is very far from Ghana. But if you've not been to Africa, you would think Uganda is that it's in Kumasi. You know. When I was in Mozambique, and I felt a burden for the country, and I sent people there to be missionaries. So God has his moment for you. And this is God's moment for you, for your salvation. So if you are a young man, be wiser and remember that Jesus is passing through. It's like when somebody is proposing to you and you fool around, you may not get that opportunity again. Or when you have a relationship and you fool with the relationship, you may not have that opportunity again. Nobody may marry you again till you die. Number two, God forbid. Zacchaeus trusted in his riches. Many people trust in their riches. Proverbs 18 verse 12. It says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has a high wall in his own conceit. All right. Proverbs 18 verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. So many times people believe that their money can save them. So riches makes people turn away from God. And sometimes that is the reason why everything about you is not working financially. Because sometimes God is saving you from trusting in riches till you can grow up and trust in him. Hallelujah. Psalm 52 and verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in wickedness. So you cannot make yourself someone who trusts in the abundance of your riches. You know, these days when I see footballers and boxers and all these artists, singers and so on becoming rich, I don't feel as I used to feel. At first I used to feel, wow, these guys are really lucky. But you see that many times people have trusted in the abundance of their riches to their own destruction. You can even see it in church. As soon as people have a little bit of prosperity, they become funny. When you talk to them about God, you talk to them about something, you see that their trust is in the abundance of their riches. Mark chapter 10 verse 24. Jesus answered and said, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" So you cannot trust in riches and allow them to keep you from the kingdom of God. Now, whether you like it or not, you know, riches has an effect. Just always remember that. Assume that it has had an effect on you so that you can protect yourself. Yeah. If you are like that, you know, you'll be saved. One day I told a rich man, because he used to go to church, I told him, "Oh, you are proving the Bible true." I said, "You have proved it true." He said, "Hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom." I said, "When you didn't have anything, you used to go to church. You used to do this for the Lord." I said, "How can you prove the Bible so exact? You are fulfilling the Bible prophecy exactly. Why?" He said, "I'm not fulfilling it." I said, "You are fulfilling it. Now you don't believe in God. Now you don't believe in anything. Just because of small prosperity." He says, "Hardly shall a rich man enter." So if God had kept you poor, you would have been coming to church humbly and being a supporter of the priest, a supporter of the pastor, a supporter of the work of God. But now, he has blessed you and now you have so much, you've turned your heart away from God. So let us not prove these scriptures true. Yes. No matter what God gives you, you must learn how to still be in prayer. You must be somebody who goes to the gardens. Even if there are no gardens here, we have gardens in Mampong for you. Prayer gardens, which are even being expanded. Yes, they are being expanded. You have prayer gardens, 100% for prayer. And I've placed a curse on anybody who wants to change that place into a secular place. The person should be cursed with his family forever and all the descendants. It's a spiritual place for spiritual things. You cannot move away from what is saving you just because you have a little money. Your little money is nothing. So thank God for the cars, houses, jewelry, gold, silver. But God is saying, don't let it keep you from God. Now look at Zacchaeus. He was a rich man. But thank God that he was a rich man with a difference. That day that he met Jesus, he did not allow his riches to keep him from God. And that will be your story. You will not allow your riches to keep you from God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, my experience is in the church is that even people who are rich don't support the work of God very much, as you would have thought. You know, so anytime there is a stereotype or there is a repeated pattern, decide I will not join that picture. So if God blesses you to be rich, decide I will not be. I've heard Bishop mentioning that rich people don't help. Yes. So you have to say, this thing, I will not let it happen to me. If you are poor to them, you because you see, you can't tell what God is going to do in your life. I tell you, you can never tell. If God decides to bless you financially in a certain way, you start going up. God riches, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I've been around for years. I can't tell for sure what it is that makes people rich. Except I will say the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Because I've seen people work hard, they don't get rich. I've seen people go to school, they don't get rich. I've seen people marry rich people, they are not rich. I mean, I don't know what formula. And I've seen all these different ones, they still have. I've seen different types having riches. You don't even really know what the formula is. But you have to decide.
If God, for whatever reason, will ever decide one day that you, I bless you, then you must be like Zacchaeus, who when he heard of Jesus, there was a change. And he did not follow the pattern of hardened rich people. Remember, Jesus is the same person who said, hardly shall a rich man enter. But this is an example of a rich man who is entering. So I prophesy you'll be one of the rich men who will be entering the kingdom of heaven. Is it not what Jesus said? Hardly shall a rich man enter. Now, number three. Zacchaeus, like many people, had external obstacles that were preventing him from seeing Jesus. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, but he could not for the press. Can you change it? Can you change the version? He could not for the press. The crowd. Everybody was taller than him. I'm sure there are some Zacchaeuses here. How many have ever been around and you see that everybody around is taller than you? And because of that, you cannot see far. Even when they are taking a picture, you are always hidden. So Zacchaeus decided to overcome all obstacles that were preventing him from seeing Jesus. And what did he do? A rich man, he ran and climbed up the sycamore tree to overcome the obstacles that were preventing him from seeing Jesus. Today, in everybody's life, in every Zacchaeus here, there are people, there are things that keep you from seeing Jesus. People. People. Huh? And the obstacles in Zacchaeus' life were human beings. People standing in front of him, you couldn't see Jesus. Maybe there's a girlfriend standing in front of you that's not letting you see Jesus. You are blocking my view. Maybe there is a boyfriend. Or maybe he's not even a boyfriend, just a boy. But he's blocking your view from seeing Jesus. Hey! Are you going to allow a boy or a girl to keep you from seeing Jesus Christ? God forbid. I say, God forbid. A pastor, I always remember the story he told where he spoke to a lady and he told a young girl, give your life to Jesus. She said, oh, you wait. No problem. I'll do it. But she was in love with a boy. And the boy took, they went to a nightclub that night. And there was an explosion. There something happened there. And the pastor was called in the middle of the night or whatever. He said he remembers talking to the girl after doing his altar call. Give your life to Jesus. Beautiful girl. He said when he was called, he went into the nightclub where this accident or whatever it was had happened. He said he was walking over the bodies. And he came to her and looked at her. His heart was broken. He was crying. Because of a boy. She was dead. She said, oh, pastor, next week I'll give my life. Next week, you know, I know what I'm saying. Next week. Which tall, hunky boy is standing in front of you? Keeping you away from Jesus. Hey! No, look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was coming to Jesus, but human beings had actually blocked him from seeing Jesus Christ. Human beings, crowds. Maybe there were three girls. girls. Four girls standing in front of him, not allowing him to see Jesus. And he said, no way, no human being will keep me from knowing my God. No one can keep me from knowing God. And he decided, even though he was a rich man, to climb the tree. You must take a picture by a sycamore tree in Jericho, one of these days. Are you ready to climb a tree like a monkey? Are you ready to be humble like a monkey if you need to be humble? Whatever humble step you need to take, you must take it and not allow any human being on this earth to keep you from Jesus Christ, your Savior. Maybe it is a parent. Yes. It's amazing. There are parents who want their children to be unbelievers. When you go to church, they will complain and say, why are you going to church? Why did you do this? But when a man is dropping you in the middle of the night or at 2 a.m., they don't ask any questions. Who came to drop you at 2 a.m.? I had a car outside. You 3 a.m. Sometimes they don't come back home. No questions asked. But when it's church, and many times you see that they are being ruled by darkness. Yes. But you must not allow anybody to keep you from God. Zacchaeus said, look at the person in front. He tried to push you. The man said, don't push me. He tried to push this one. He said, don't push me. Ha! They turned to him and said, ha! Well, they couldn't see that he was a rich man. You know, he was just one of the members of the crowd. Don't push me. And Zacchaeus realized that, no, he's desperate. I need to see Jesus. I need to climb over and above these people. Nobody can keep me from God. Maybe it is a friend. Yeah, because some of us, Charlie, our friends are really some way. Maybe it's your girl. You are a girl and you have a friend who is a girl. Like, Charlie, the boys that she's moving with. Serial boyfriends. And you look silly. All alone, it looks as if you are sad. You don't have all the boys that she has. And then she seems to have money too. Wow. The minister of grass and clouds came to drop her. The minister of rivers and waters, lakes. The deputy minister of lakes and rivers. Hey! You hear that you see that she's gone to London. So where did you get a visa from? So no problem. How could you get a visa? And you look some way, and all the girls around you ask him, are you still a virgin? Are you still a virgin? They are laughing at you that you are still at this age. What? You are not experienced. No boy will like a girl without experience. Girls, boys, when you go to a place, all the boys are doing this. Everybody is doing that. They are coming to tell stories. Charlie, this is what we did today. Oh. The smoke is in your room. The weed is in your room. You can smell it. And these people are keeping you from God. It would be better to stay on a tree than to stay in the room with such people. And Zacchaeus said, you know something? I cannot allow anybody in my environment. I prefer to be a monkey today. I'm going to climb this tree and get away from these guys so that I can personally have my own interaction with Jesus Christ. Whoever it is, your mates. You know, when I finished school, I said, my mates will not keep me from God. Because I look silly. I always look silly. 55 of them. We all finished school. And I'm saying I'm a medical doctor now. Now I say I'm doing a church with a classroom. Nobody, no member of the church had even a car. Everybody was a child. Ebenezer Secondary School student. Huh? And I said, I'm doing a church. But I decided not to look at anybody. Yeah. If you look at your friends, if you carefully look at your friends, you will not serve God. It makes you look foolish. That's why we need fellowship. To come closer to those who also believe in the God in the same way as you believe. Yes, fellows in a ship. Fellows in a ship. Zacchaeus said, no girl, no boy, no grown up. No grown up will keep me from God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to see Jesus personally. No girlfriend, no boyfriend, nobody who gives money. Charlie, if you can be bought with money, you are cheap. How much do they give you? How much do they give you? 400 cedis and you have gone through the roof like Charlie, 400 cedis. Now, you see, prostitution is not only official prostitution. Break it down. When you have got a big uncle with big stomach and you are doing things, and you know that when I perform higher, he will give me extra money. Is it not a lay prostitution that you are doing? You are a lay prostitute. You are a volunteer. Ask your neighbor, are you a lay prostitute? Maybe the house that you came from, they are into juju. And they're giving you something to keep. Especially a certain region have those type of things. I don't want to mention a region, but it's that the region begins with a certain alphabet. True or not true? Yeah. Sit down. One day we led a young man to Jesus. And he said, he was telling me, I said, are you serious, the things you are saying? He said, yeah. He said, I went with my father to the cemetery. I stayed in the cemetery for 7 days. Yes. Then he cut. He said, I can't. He gave his life to Christ. But he was afraid of his father. Because he had stayed in the cemetery for 7 days. He cut his wrist. Father cut his wrist and they mixed it and made a covenant. Not that somebody told me, he was telling me. And was saying the other things that he has done. And he said, I'm afraid to leave. He said, you cannot let your father, if he's a fetish priest. We have a pastor whose father was a fetish priest. He's a pastor. You cannot keep this. You have to climb over him and move out. Because I tell you, the judgment for juju, occultism, witchcraft, enchantment, spells, all these things is very high in the Bible. Very, very strong. God doesn't want any god. You see, if I took a picture and made a spider, I brought a picture of a spider or a crab, and I said, this is President Akufo-Addo, is it not an insult? How much more God, when you take a spider and you say, that is Jehovah Almighty God. Or you take an antelope or a crab and you say, that is God. I don't think he takes it lightly at all. Hey, be careful. The judgment for these things are very high. So if you need to climb out, climb out. Don't let any power or any juju, they cannot have power. The power of Jesus will make them, so you play football with them. Yeah. You know, sometimes I see Christians coming from certain places. See, they have more faith in juju than in Christ's power. Yeah, they have more faith in juju than in Jesus. Yeah, and you know why? It's because you hear about the power of this, but you don't hear about Jesus' power. If you hear about Jesus' power, you'll not be afraid of those things. Yes, you must rise up. Don't allow anybody. Maybe you are a politician. You allow a politician to keep you. A politician to keep you. Where you get your money? Or your boss. Yeah. You cannot let your boss keep you from God. How can you slip your way to the next rank? You are slipping your way gradually to the top of the... How long can you be giving those services? Resign in the name of Jesus. And come out. Yes. I like Zacchaeus. Charlie, like a big shot in town that has climbed the tree. You know, pride keeps us from God. And I want to say to everybody here, don't ever become too big in the house of God. When you see God, no, Charlie, forget about who you are. If I remember right, you know, I think it was Kwabena Daku. You know, he's a millionaire in Ghana. He was giving a testimony about how they went to Full Gospel business meeting. And then he said he looked around and all these millionaires and billionaires. And he saw a trillionaire lying down and worshiping God. And he said, hey, a trillionaire, then what about me? Then he also quickly joined. There are people with far greater things who are more humble, humbly serving God. Your small thousands and hundreds. People, Ghana cities, thousands. Not even dollars. Thousand year. You are a thousand year. Climb over your neighbor and say, hey, Charlie, excuse me, I'm going to look for Jesus. Oh, I said climb over your neighbor and just, hey. Hallelujah. Number four, Zacchaeus had, apart from external obstacles, he had internal problems. What are the internal problems that he had? He was short. It was a personal problem that he had, that he was a very short man. And that was preventing him from seeing God. So sometimes, apart from the outside issues, which have to do with people, your internal issues yourself, personal, how you are, and how you've become, is keeping you from God. Maybe you are here and you have, the way your temperament is, you are lazy. Do you know that lazy people cannot easily serve God? Jesus said, wicked and slothful servant. Laziness keeps people from God. Many times when people don't want to serve God, it's laziness, pure laziness. Oh, I can't get up. I can't do this. I can't do that. Even to get up and come and give their life to Jesus. It's like, Charlie, let me rest in my chair. I'll pray from here. The prayer will reach me. I'm at the back. Lazy people cannot. Maybe you are stupid and it's a problem with you, a lack of intelligence. You don't do well in school. So when you hear salvation, you see, it takes intelligence to fear God. Because if you are not intelligent, you don't fear God. That's what I think. It takes intelligence to fear God. Because if you ask yourself, I mean, where did we come from? Where did we come from? Where are we going? It's just a matter of time. You can count in 50 years. Almost everybody in this whole area will be changed. Everybody's being recycled. God doesn't allow one group to stay for long. 50 years from now, all of us, I will not be here. I don't think you'll be here. Count your age well and see. I don't know if you'll be here. Huh? Yeah, plus 50, you finished. So you'll be your child will be 50 years old. Can you imagine? Not you, your child will be 50 years old. Can you imagine having a son who is 50 years old? Kadela's son will be 50 years old. Zoe's child will be 62. So if you see, people who are stupid, they don't think far. Okay, your head is made up of porridge. That's why you will not give your life to Jesus. Yeah. So you realize that internally you have personal problem of stupidity. Check with your neighbor. Do you have any problem with stupidity? That is why people don't give their life to Jesus. Oh, stupidity. Foolishness. Jesus said to the rich man, he says, thou fool, today your soul is required of you. You foolish man, today your soul is required of you. Today. It's a fool who doesn't think of the implications. Yeah. It's when you are foolish that you say, oh, Charlie, make me go do this. Oh, Charlie, we go do, oh, Charlie, see you tomorrow. Oh, we go do. You see, it is a lowered intelligence. Mercy. Thou fool, today your soul is required. Look at it. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool. You think I'm insulting you? I mean, the Bible is insulting you. If you want to be angry with God or be angry with the Bible. Don't leave me out of it. I don't see how I come in. Foolishness doesn't make you give your life to Jesus Christ. So maybe you see that you don't do well in, and it shows even sometimes in your exam results. Yeah. I don't want to differentiate between arts and science. I would just assume that they are. I have to do some research to know whether more arts students give their life to Christ or science students. Okay, let me just find out. How many here are science students? How many are art students? Maybe art students are more philosophical, so they think deeply. And they more easily believe. You know, they do religious studies and so on. So they. Or there are more art students than science students in the world. Okay. Yeah. So maybe you have a personal laziness, maybe personal stupidity. And then number three, lack of foresight. Like you are not somebody who thinks of the future. You just think of today. Just today, happiness for today. Say, Charlie, yeah, we are blowing time today. No, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking of eternity. Yeah. If I add just 10, 15 years to my life, I'd be 70. Imagine that. Can you imagine me? Yeah. I have to be thinking of eternity. The day God says, today, I need you today. Look, everybody who is wise knows that there is a day you wake up. That's the day you are going. That day is the day. That day is the day you will not go to your bed. There is a day you go out of your gate. That's the day you will not come back through your gate. Yeah, but people don't think that way. It doesn't occur to you that all that you have, you see that you may not be able to use it. How does your mind not think far? How does your mind not think far? There's a day that God decides, God rules in the affairs of men. That there must be God. If you study the science, the planets, there must be God. There must be another reason for us being here. God must be giving us an opportunity for what is your life, James 4:14. So you lack foresight. You lack personal foresight. That's why when you get money, you just buy clothes, you just blow time. You don't think of the future. Maybe you have developed sexual problems. Exodus 14 verse 3. Exodus 14:3. You've developed sexual problems. They are entangled in the land. You are entangled in homosexuality, fornication, and all this entanglement. Look at it. He says they are entangled in the land. So you realize that you have personal issues. But Zacchaeus was humble. And I want to tell you, there is no personal issue you cannot come out if you are humble. If only you are humble, you will come out of it. But if you are humble, you see, a rich man to climb a tree. When we go to Jericho, you see the tree there. You see, that when I was there, nobody climbed the tree. Everybody stood in front of the tree and took pictures. And as I think of it, I realized, why didn't we climb it? It's a very strange white tree. Why didn't anybody climb to take a picture? Yeah. Now, don't say you climb when you get... Today, as you are standing, there's a sycamore tree in front of you. Humble yourself and climb out of your problem in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Whatever you are entangled in, come out of it today. And you know how to come out. Humble yourself. Sometimes you have to come and say, Pastor, I surrender. I have this problem. Just help me. Help me. Just say, look, I am this. I need this help. But when you look so perfect. You want to look perfect all the time. Who is perfect? Check with your neighbor and say, I hear you are the perfect person sitting next to me. I don't know. Mark chapter 9 verse 43. Mark 9 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy hand offend thee, do what? Cut it off. So if you have a personal problem with your hand, cut it off. Wow. Why? For it is better to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I mean, there is a real place called a fire that shall never be quenched. How many plan to be in the fire? Hey, Charlie, fire that cannot be quenched. Hey. And why? Because of your hand. The Bible says it's better to enter into life as a cripple. Now, the only disadvantage, when you are in heaven and they say, put your hands together, you will be beating your chest because one arm has been left on earth. But it is better to have, you can even be doing like this in heaven, than to have two hands in hell. And all the accursed, rebellious, disobedient, wicked people will be around you in hellfire. One of the dangers of hell is that it's the people that are there. You see, prison is not so wild, but the people that are there, that is what is wild. What they will do to you when you join them. Kama, Shito, Aleza. Nobody under the sound of my voice will walk through the prison unless you are going to preach there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He said, it is better. It's better. So whatever personal problem you have, climb up the tree. Cut off the hand. Let it go away. Whatever person, human being, boy, girl, personality in your life, cut them off. Shut them off. It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to follow Jesus properly. It's time to take your cross and follow Jesus. It's time to be humble like Zacchaeus and climb the tree that you have to climb and say, I just prefer to be a monkey and go to heaven. Number five, Zacchaeus was known to Jesus by name. He had a shock. You know, thank God that the sycamore tree is not too tall. Because when Jesus came to the place, Luke 19, verse 5, he looked at and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus could have fallen down. Huh? How did you know my name? God knows your name. He knows my name. Is there not a song like that? God knows people's names. Ah, my name is Dago. My name is known in heaven. God knows my name. God knows a lot of people's name. He called Adam. And the Lord God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? He didn't say, yeah. He didn't say, shh. Shh. Number one, eh. Number two, eh. No. He said, Adam. He said, Zacchaeus. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel? Yes, when he's talking, he said, where is Abel? Where is Abel? I know Abel. God knows your name. Zacchaeus was shocked that day. God knows you are Kofi. God knows you are John. God knows you are Priscilla. God knows your name. He said, Zacchaeus. Ah. Who told him? Stop thinking, sitting there thinking, how did they know my name? Now the Lord said to Abraham, go. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon. He called people by name all the time. You'll be sure. They were acting a film. They said, your name is long. Heaven, Jesus can pronounce every name. You come with your name. He will pronounce it perfectly for you. You know, when we went to America for slavery, that's Africans. You don't know that we went to America for slavery. They couldn't even mention our name, so they started to change. That's why we hear, you see certain names. Yeah. It's not their name. They just say, hello, I'll change your name to Smith. Yeah. Park, Rivers. Huh? Grass, Brown. Mr. Brown. Mr. Baker. Mr. Dollar. Yes. That's why Malcolm X changed it. He was Malcolm or something. And he said, that's not my name. The name the white man had given him is not my name. So I put X as the unknown. You know, the YDX is equal to 2AB minus whatever. That's... AX plus BX squared plus C is equal to... Is equal to what? AX squared plus BX... AX plus BX squared plus C is equal to what? You see now? It's a blessing. Some people say it's equal to a blessing. AX squared plus BX plus C, they say it's equal to a blessing. Wow, look at something. Is zero a blessing? Anyway, so the X is unknown. I don't know who I am. So he changed his name to X. I don't know who I am. But I tell you, God knows who you are. And there's no one's name that he will not mention. When he mentions, when he said, he turned to Eve, what have you done? Adam. When he came in, they asked, Adam, where are you? Zacchaeus. So how can God remember all our name? No, he knows my name. He can remember your name. He knows my name. Every good shepherd knows a lot of, I know a lot of names. I know more names than all of you. Yeah, I know a whole lot of names. Yeah, it's my work to know names. Kama Shotalabaya. And the good shepherd there, he doesn't know a lot. He knows everybody's name. So he's going to call you out by name. Yeah, he knows you personally. And it hurts him that you would go to hell. So no one under the sound of my voice is going to hell in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number six. Wow. Zacchaeus, like Jesus, said, Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. So Zacchaeus had to come quickly to Jesus. Look at it. Luke 19 and verse 5. Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must come to your house. Today. I'm coming today. I'm coming today. Make haste. Hallelujah. Amen. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:15. Psalm 32 verse 6. For this cause, for this everyone that is godly, pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Pray to God when he may be found. Today is a time to pray to God. This is a time for us to serve God. This is a time for us to seek God. Pray to God in a time when he may be found. So Jesus said to Zacchaeus, hurry up! Make haste! You can't delay when God calls you. When God sends you, you cannot delay. Make haste, Zacchaeus. Hurry up. Hurry up. Make haste. Quickly. I'm past the half short time. I'm coming to your house today. Salvation is coming to your house. When God told Abraham, circumcise yourself, 90 years old. And all the males, and your son, 13 years old. And every male, and all visitors, circumcise them. The Bible says the same day, the day that God told him to circumcise, to cause the pain, that was the same day that he circumcised everybody. No delay at all. I was shocked. Abraham said, look at certain instructions. I mean, some would have subjected it to a medical discussion. Let's have a meeting amongst, what do you think, this circumcision idea and so on. I said, no question about circumcision. Bring everything out. Bring the stone. And they use a stone to circumcise. Huh? They were sharpening stones on the same day. No anesthesia. Look at Genesis 17. He says, and Abraham circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as God had said unto him. The very day. God says, circumcise. That very day, he said, everybody is going to be circumcised now. He called all his family, said, God has spoken to me. I think staying with Abraham may have looked a bit like a mad person. Like he can come up with fantastic things. I mean, suddenly. Today, no, we are leaving the house. We are going somewhere. We don't know where we are going. Tomorrow this. Hey, tomorrow kill your child. Tomorrow circumcise. Hey. It's very wild. But I want you to know, if you want to serve God, make haste. Be quick. Yeah. Yeah, make haste. Hurry up. Me, I'm glad I started serving God. When I finished my housemanship, as soon as I finished my housemanship, which is part of my training, a few months passed, about 9 months, then I came into ministry. I've never gone back. Full time. Yeah. Full time. And I knew from secondary school that I was going to serve the Lord. Before university. They taught me anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, surgery, medicine. It couldn't change me. As soon as I finished, I had the chance. That was it. I said, finish. I'm all out for Jesus. Quickly. We started a church. I was in school. I started a church. 1988. I was still a student. Make haste. Do what I say. Do you think if I now get up, I've come from America with all my degrees? So,
you know, the Lord has spoken to me to start a new church called Lighthouse Chapel International.
I wouldn't even see you. Make haste. Quickly. Come now. Look, let me tell you something. Don't be sad. I rarely see old people giving their life to Christ. I rarely see people even in their 30s and 40s giving their life to Jesus. It's rare. I'm serious. Like, oh, I've changed. My life has turned around. No. Rare, it's rare. No, I'm a pastor. Sometimes they will go through some terrible crisis, lose everything, then they will become a little religious and be praying a bit and go for a prophet. But rarely do you see people in their 40s, 50s, they forget about it. 30s, even 30s. They become hardened. That's why God says, make haste now. Now is the time. Most people who are Christians, when you see they're old, they were Christians from secondary school. Do you think Bishop Saki just became a Christian? Or Bishop Eddie? We've been Christian, SU Christian from our teenage years. There's nothing like later conversion. That's why God says, make haste quickly. Moving now.
Bible says, remember your creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Because there are some days coming and there are evil entanglements and demons. You will never give your life to God. You'll be looking at preachers all the time and wondering what's wrong with them. Make haste. Today, I'm coming to your house. Hurry up. So I want to tell you, those of you who are playing around, you know, when God calls you, that's the day. And everything must be quick. Quick, quick, quick. Yeah. I had a vision once. I was riding a bicycle with big wheels. And it was dark. And I came to a crossroads. When I got to the crossroads, I knew the way was straight. Just cross and go. But I didn't. I stopped and I started to go slowly around the circle. Just as I was playing around in that junction, a long snake came. A snake. Very thin snake like this. And it was a bit wavy. And started to come towards the bicycle. So I started to move. And the snake followed me all the way to where I was going. And when I woke up, the Holy Spirit told me, you see, you dilly-dallied at the junction. You dilly-dallied at the junction and this thing has followed you and is following you. You shouldn't have dilly-dallied. When you go to Anakazo campus, you see a big junction there. It's called Snake Junction. It is after this vision. There's no snake there, but it's just this vision. Don't dilly-dally at the junctions that you come to in your life. If God has called you, say yes and go in for it. Most people, if they are going to prosper in what they are going to do, by 40, they've prospered in it. By 40, you see that they've prospered in what they are going to do. Yeah. Whatever you're going to do, by 25, you should be on it. Yeah. Jesus was in the ministry by 30. 30 years old. Joseph was 30 years old when he became prime minister. 30 is a very significant age. You should have started the things in your 20s. And by 30, you say you are somewhere. It's not easy to start when you are 40-something and say that I'm now going to start something new. I saw a man trying to start a church in his 40s. After some time, he said that he's changed. He's going to write books. Because people were not coming to the church. Whatever God is telling you, make haste, young man. Don't think there's so much time. This year, we have two of our sons drown in the sea. They went. None of us saw it. The Lord hid it from me. We finished praying. They went. The one who was a swimmer, who went to save his friend, rather, didn't come back. Yeah. And by the way, you should be very careful of the sea now. They're building a harbor, and the harbor is changing the current in our sea. It's become 10 times more dangerous. No one expected. So when God calls you, he said, hurry up now. Do something for me. Do it now, eh? So I want to fall in love. I want to feel love. Love. You want to feel love or you want to feel pain? I said, do you want to feel love or pain? Is it pain you want or love you want to taste? Make haste and serve God quickly. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:27, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It is a good thing when you are young to bear the yoke. When you are a young person, to serve God and choose to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Hurry up! Look, you see, there's a mind that there is a sea of endlessness ahead of you. It is not true. There is no sea of endlessness. It's something that's finite and nobody knows. The day is going to be over. We all hope for to cross 70 with ease. And we are crossing with ease in Jesus' name. But look carefully around. You see that it's not always like that. Make haste, Zacchaeus. Hurry up, otherwise I'll be gone. I'll be gone. You'll be wishing I'll come back. Are you still there? Kama shatola basandene. This day, verse 19, salvation is come into your house. Now, after that, people were criticizing Zacchaeus that it's not real. How many have had people say about you that it's not real?
Like, how many have heard people say that you are a hypocrite? Like it's not a genuine something. We're going to fight that spirit today. Luke 19, verse 8. And look at Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, behold, if I have taken anything from any man, I restore him fourfold. And half of my goods I give to the poor. So repentance is the last thing and the last point we have. You must repent. Look, you cannot do everything you used to do before. Yeah. If you want an easy religion, you have to resign now. It's not easy to serve God. Yes, it's not easy to serve God. Just as it's not easy to... It's not easy to go to a good place. Is it to be easier for you to get a visa to go to Togo? Open borders. Than to go to where? Amsterdam. Yeah. I want to go to a good place. You want to go to heaven? It's not that easy. Open borders where there's nothing much to gain. Hell has open borders. You just walk in straight. No visa. No requirements. Just come. You didn't make heaven. You come here. Free entry. Hey! But Jesus, Zacchaeus said, if I have taken anything from anybody, I'm telling him. Because he knew that he was a thief. All thieves here, you are changing today in Jesus' name. Check your neighbor and say, there is a thief here. So turn to your neighbor and say, you may be the thief and you are changing from today. You know, I don't know if it's me or somebody else. We did an altar call for armed robbers and some people came forward. Armed robber in church. There must be a change. And there is going to be a great change in your life. Put the picture of my young man who had his rasta. Put it up. I want you to see that picture again. Amazing. Amazing grace. Ah. Which type of cigarette is it? Is it weed or Tusker for men? Yeah. I mean, this is not a cigarette. This must be some kind of chemical. Huh? This is a manager of a nightclub. A DJ. A strip club. Huh? But look at what salvation has done. So you can't sit here and say, I'm doing the old things that I used to do. Yeah. You can't have the same old boyfriends. You can't have the same old life. You can't be a politician and tell lies. Just as everybody else will be telling lies. You can't do that. There must be a difference. I return half of the goods. I'm showing that I'm a believer. There must be a change. Christ changes lives. Jesus changes lives. Christianity is not just something to join. You know, people ask, why is there so much evil in Ghana, in Nigeria, and we have so many churches? Do you know why? Salvation. Church may be full, but people are not saved. So, because you can be here, but you are not saved. You know, recently I traveled, when we get to the border, depending on what passport you have, or sometimes depending on something, they just choose you. At different times, we're going, then they say, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right. Yeah. One time we were going and Ida was asked alone. She was asked, come to the side. Everybody went through and she was selected. Come to the side. Yeah. We were all afraid. What's going on? Yeah. You see, that's how the entrance to heaven is. Suddenly you say, to the side. And they said, the computer is randomly selected. So look at your computer. But when you get to the gates of heaven, and you start to say, you, to the left, to the left. So me? Yes, you. What? Yes. Don't shout here. No, those angels in heaven, you should have been giving some slaps to these guys who, next time, give them some slaps, eh? Because I think they don't know the behavior, right behavior in heaven. You can't come and start shouting and bring your Ghana culture to heaven. Your Ghana ways. But how many are enjoying the film stars? Is it not fantastic? It's like we are watching a film. Yeah. It's like a real film that we are all watching. And it will happen practically. Yeah. Make haste. Give half of your good. Let's show there's a real change. Yeah. I want to see reverse. U-turn. U-turn. S. C. Total change. Total change. No. No O's. Total change. And everybody can say, yeah. When they meet you, say, I'm a Christian doctor. I'm a doctor for Jesus. I'm a lawyer for Jesus. I'm a carpenter for Jesus. I'm a businessman for Jesus. I'm a politician for Jesus. Don't you admire our Muslim brothers when they are in power or when they are doing it? They show it so openly. This is what I believe. Yeah. I was on a flight with someone. He took his mat and started his prayers. I mean, fully. Just lay. He said, excuse me, by the door. As we were flying, he was praying. Finished and came back to sit down. No way. I mean, the belief is deep. It's not what we are doing. And I admire them for that. And I want Christians to show that there's a change, a real change. When Jesus has saved you, it's a real change in you. Tell your neighbor, Charlie, today I'm climbing trees and I'm changing. I mean, I'm moving out of obstacles. Now, tell your neighbor which of the points is your main point for today. Is it overcoming external obstacles or internal obstacles? Or is it making haste? Or is it repentance? Which of the points is your point? Or the humility of climbing the tree? Zacchaeus. How many are going to follow the ways of Zacchaeus and totally change? How many are better than Zacchaeus? Yeah, a lot of us. But today, Jesus knows your name. And he's calling you by name. He says, what is your name? What is your name? What is your name? He's calling your name. Adam, Cornelius, Eve, Simon, Joshua. By name. He's calling you by name. And Mary, you know, when he came he rose from the dead. Mary came in the garden. He said, Mary. And that was how she knew that it was Jesus. Yeah, because Jesus doesn't call you. Shh. One small boy, hey. One small girl. Look at it. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Wow. He knows my name. How many are glad that your name is known in heaven? What a blessing. Stand to your feet, everybody. Everybody standing, please. Everybody standing. Tell your neighbor, I'm doing better than Zacchaeus. I believe I'm doing better than Zacchaeus. Yeah. Lift your hands. Speak to God for a moment. Father, thank you for your power to change lives. Power to save people. Everybody must be praying now. Everybody must be praying. Father, thank you. Kamara Shandola Baba. Oh, we give you thanks and we give you praise for the great things you have done in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for blessing us. Palama Shandolo Mokabaranda Lemene. Ayama Balanda Baloda Balede Berende Merende Moranda de Berede. Ma Shantola Makabala Babala Banana. Ha ma Sotolo Makabalende Vele Devele 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 Devele. Ha Mere Mandala Mashimbora Makatabalade. Thank you, Jesus. Today, salvation is come. Today, salvation is come. Today, salvation is come. And salvation is coming through you to many people. And salvation is come to your life. Father, thank you. Lord, we are making haste. We are climbing the sycamore tree, Lord. To see you, Jesus. Nothing can keep us from knowing you, Lord. We cast out all obstacles, demon powers, human beings. Oh, let them be taken out of our lives, Lord. We must see you, Lord. We must follow you. We must know you. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the salvation of Zacchaeus. You bless us with. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. As every head is bowed today, if you are here, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you, like Zacchaeus, you're hearing about Jesus. You want to give your life to God. Maybe somebody invited you, but you know you must hear and receive Jesus. You must see Him personally. And today, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my life, save me, and change my life forever. If you are here like that, wherever you are, I want Jesus to change me. I want to give my life to God today. Then lift up your hand where you are standing. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Like Zacchaeus, you want to say, hey, Pastor, I heard you preaching about Zacchaeus. Today, I want to give my life to God. Father, thank you for the supply of your Spirit, supply of salvation. If you've lifted up your hand and you want to give your life to God, come to me in the front here. Come, 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 come. Come, come, come to me here. Make haste. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come to God. Make haste. Let Him have His way. This is your day of salvation. Come, my friend. Lift your hands and say this prayer with me. Close your eyes. Listen, this is very important. Say, Jesus. I want everyone to join in. Say, Jesus. Thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. I am just like Zacchaeus. I am a sinner. I know I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Have mercy on me. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for saving me. Please wash me. Write my name in the book of life. From today, I belong to God. I'm turning around. I'm turning around. I'm coming to Jesus today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I will not go to hell. I will not go to hell. I reject Satan. I reject Satan. In the name of Jesus. From today, I give myself to God. I give myself to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lift your two hands like this. Say, I surrender all to Jesus Christ. I surrender all. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In the name of Jesus, everyone will see a change in my life. Say it again. Everyone. Everyone will see a change in my life from today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a mighty, mighty clap offering. Don't go back to your seat yet. Wait a minute. I want to give you one of my books called Key Facts for New Believers. Everybody is going to get one of these books. This is a very small book. The reason why people don't do well in exams is because they read big books. Do you understand? Oh, you'll not say I understand. So I'm giving you a very small book called Key Facts for New Believers. When I was in medical school, I used key facts always. And I was always first. Not first, but I was always doing well. Amen? What school are you in? You are not in a school. Okay. God wants to change your life forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a big change coming in your life. I want to see you after. You're going to meet everybody, but after I want to see you. Okay. Listen. Jesus is changing lives. I said Jesus is doing what? He's changing lives and saving people. That's why he came to this world. Luke 19 verse 10. Luke 19 verse 10. Beautiful. Amen. Alright. So, when we close, I want everybody who is standing here to come to this corner here. And then we are going to meet with you for just a minute. Your life is changing. Zacchaeus, come down. What's your name? Isaac. Your name is what? Collins. Collins, come down. As for you, I will know your name because I'm meeting you after. What is your name? Benjamin. Hey, these are heavy names. God is saving your life. From today, even if you have to climb over a tree, cross a river, take 4 buses to come here, make sure you are here. On Sunday, you must be here. That's all. I'm giving you a book because I'm giving you homework to read. But God is changing your life. All these people you see giving the testimony, it's real. They are real people. We don't even know the testimonies that they are going to bring. We also sit down and watch. We say, hey, God has done great things. So I know your testimony is coming very soon about how God changed your life. And he's changing you forever. And just as this man was able to change, even his hairstyle changed. Some of your hairstyles will even change. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go back to your seats. And when we close, just come here. We are closing in 5 minutes. You may be seated, everybody. And it's time for communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Look at this, everybody. This is communion. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Is God leading you? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Verse 3. Beautiful. Now, he humbled thee and suffered thee or allowed thee to hunger. And he fed thee with manna. He fed thee with what? Manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Wow. That he might make thee know that man does not live by human bread alone. So that's why we don't live our life only by eating kinke. I don't know what you've eaten, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. So God fed them with supernatural bread. And Jesus said, I'm the manna which came down from heaven. Jesus said, I'm the manna which came down from heaven. Now look at verse 4. Look at the effect of the manna which came down from heaven. Verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. 40 years the clothes were not old. Ha! And neither did thy foot swell. Do you know that at a certain point, when you sit down, your foot will swell? Or you've not noticed? When you get to a certain point, before you realize that your foot is getting swollen. Except you. So what was the effect of the manna? The manna. Supernatural protection from ill health and diagnosis of wickedness. So this one is not like healing of a sickness, but prevention. So as we take this Holy Communion, your foot, your liver, your kidney, your eyes, your face, your breasts, your skin, there will be no negative changes in any of those. Whatever negative changes are planning to come in your body, in the name of Jesus, by the manna which came down from heaven, that change will not take place in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I am the manna which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Thank you, Lord. Lift up the bread. Kamazota amalabasa. Lift up the bread. Father, thank you that you are the manna, the bread of life that came down from heaven. Pour your power on this little bread and let salvation and healing, protection from diagnosis and changes in the body be on everyone, because we know we don't live by bread alone, by kenke alone, by banku alone, by rice alone, but by your power and by your word. As we receive this mighty meal of Holy Communion, let there be dramatic and divine protections and guarding from evil. Amen. In the name of Jesus, coverings from wickedness. Yes. Let the body and the manna of Jesus be our great protection today. The body of Jesus Christ. of the blood. Not only are we taking this supernatural bread, but this supernatural blood. What is in the blood? Miracle white blood cells. Holy white blood cells.
Amen.
That fight all forms of diseases and curses. As you receive this blood, you are receiving holy gamma globulin, immunoglobulin, holy white blood corpuscles, holy red blood corpuscles. All forms of anemia are cured today by divine red blood cells. Whatever swelling, whatever mass, whatever tumor, whatever diagnosis, by the power of the body and the blood, I decree life into your life.
I receive it.
I decree life into your life.
I receive it.
You will not be called to any hospital.
I receive.
You will never be on admission in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world, let your sins be forgotten.
Amen.
Be forgiven.
Amen.
Be forgotten.
Amen.
Be washed away.
Amen.
Because of the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of the Lamb. Lift your hands and receive your blessing. Any source of worry,
yes,
any source of concern,
yes,
and any source of anxiety,
yes,
in your life, I block it and I cast it out in Jesus' name. Any reason for you to be anxious, troubled, or distressed, in the name of Jesus, I stand in the name of Jesus and I rebuke that thing.
Amen.
I say it is going out of you now.
Amen.
Tomorrow,
yes,
you will hear the news,
Professor,
of the greatest relief in your life,
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Now, any source of pity for somebody to pity you, any source for somebody to say sorry to you, any reason for someone to look down on you, in the name of Jesus, I pluck it out of your life.
I receive it.
And I cast it far from you.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Receive good news from a far country
now. I receive it.
Receive blessings from a far country now.
I receive it.
Receive blessings from heaven above now in the name of Jesus. Anything in your life, whatever is not a blessing, whatever is like an albatross around your leg, following you everywhere you go, any bad story that is going about you, in the name of Jesus, I silence it now in Jesus' name. Every old connection,
yes,
every old friendship,
yes,
every old association,
yes,
every old boyfriend,
oh, yes,
every old girlfriend,
yes,
every relationship,
yes,
that keeps on coming up,
yes,
to disturb your future, to disturb your life,
yes,
in the name of,
amen,
Jesus, I cut it off now.
Amen.
I declare you a blessed person.
I receive it.
Everything about you is blessed.
I receive it.
Your father is blessed.
I receive it.
Your mother is blessed.
I receive it.
Your family is blessed.
I receive it.
Your children are blessed.
I receive it.
Your life is blessed.
I receive it.
I call you blessed child.
I
call you a blessed child.
I
declare blessings over your life.
I receive it.
For Jesus Christ has come to bless you.
Yes.
May you walk away from this auditorium,
amen,
carrying a heavy load of blessings.
I receive it.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Ah. May your blessings now begin to be shared. May they go out of your windows and out of your doors. Let everyone who knows you begin to recognize the blessing of the Lord that is upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever shortens life,
Professor,
whether it is a arm robber, whether it's a sickness, whether it's accident, whether disease, in the name of Jesus, I push it back from your life. I push it back from your life. Go away. Go away. Go away. In the name of Jesus. Receive life.
I receive it.
Receive life.
I receive it.
Receive life.
I receive it.
Receive long life. I declare you crossing 70 with ease.
I receive it.
Crossing 70 with ease.
I receive it.
Crossing 70 with ease.
I receive it.
Crossing 70 with ease.
I receive.
Put your hand on your head. The power of God comes over your life right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Power of God.
Yes.
Power of God.
Yes.
Receive healing.
I receive.
Receive Christ.
I receive.
Receive the power of God over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for power. Supernatural power for everyone here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hands and thank him right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your great salvation. Thank you for your great blessing. You have blessed everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.